Welcome to Private Club Radio, your weekly source for industry education, news and discussion. Broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Gabriel Aloisi.
Oh, it's so good to be back with you today on Monday. Thanks for joining me here. And if you're listening and it's not a Monday, thanks for coming by as well. I actually did a little informal poll of our listeners, and it seems that most people listen randomly. Second most times people listen are on Monday, which I was a little surprised at because the stats say that most people listen to the show on Tuesday. And lately, Thursday actually has been getting a lot of listens. So interesting to see what people say there. It was a pretty small sample size for sure, but it was our core audience over there in the Private Club Listeners Forum. By the way, if you have not joined the PCR Forum, it's on Facebook. So just type in Private Club Radio and join us over there. We're having really cool discussions. We are starting the hashtag Club Changemaker initiative. If you haven't seen that yet, get involved. And that's a lot of fun. And we're just talking about the private club industry on that page. So we'd love to have you join us that discussion. Well, we have a couple of really wonderful guests for you today here on Private Club Radio. First up on the docket, we've got Brian Friedrichs of Capstone Hospitality. We're going to talk about membership and marketing. Brian has some pretty cool tips to give you. In fact, he's got one thing that clubs can do immediately to increase membership sales. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that in the interview. After Brian, we're going to be speaking with Henry Wallmeyer, president and CEO of the National Club Association, to get a sneak peek about the NCA's National Club Conference, which is happening in April, just next month. It's right around the corner. So if you have not signed up for that conference, be there because it's going to be fun, let me tell you. But you're going to hear all about that from Henry, from the wonderful speaker lineup they've got to the venues that they'll be hosting at. And I will be there doing a little live private club radio. I've done that for the last couple of years. It's a lot of fun. And this year, I'd like to also do a little meetup for private club radio listeners. Going to host some cocktails in one of the lobby bars. Haven't decided when, but if you're planning on going to the National Club Conference in LA, please let me know so that I can get you on the invite list. It's going to be super exclusive. It's going to be all passwords and that sort of thing to get in. So if you want to be there, let me know and I'll get you on that list and I'll get you the secret password. All right, let's get Brian on the show. Well, my guest today is Brian Friedrichs of Capstone Hospitality. He is from Boca Raton, Florida, and a former professional golfer spending over 4 years on various tours worldwide. He founded Capstone Hospitality in 2009, and last year in 2017 sold over 2,000 memberships. 6 million in initiation fees were sold, and over 6 million in new annual dues added to clubs around the country. He's also increased revenue by a minimum of 50% at every club he worked with, which is just incredible numbers. So it's my pleasure to welcome Brian Friedrichs to the show. Brian, welcome to Private Club Radio.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, Gabe. Appreciate it.
Well, first thing I want to start off is your time on tour. So being a professional golfer, playing on these various tours, what were some of the things that you noticed when you were doing that, Brian?
Yeah, so, you know, I was able to play all over the world, and that was a great experience in its own right. And, you know, I would go to all these different country clubs, and a lot of times I'd go into the pro and, you know, thank him for hosting the tour, and, you know, maybe I meet the membership director and just kind of ask how the clubs are doing. And one of the biggest things that I noticed was that every single one of them, right, we're looking for more members. And so I kind of dove into that a little bit more. And realize that if you trace it back, you kind of can trace it back to the membership sales process. So that's the biggest thing I noticed and really why I kind of got back into the business world after missing too many three-footers and, you know, really wanted to tackle that problem that so many country clubs are having.
Yeah. So what are some of the mistakes that they're making in your estimation, Brian?
I think probably one of the biggest mistakes that clubs make with membership directors is just solely focusing on sales, right? I've been a membership director myself. I know there's a million other things that go on in that process as well. You know, you might get bombarded with paperwork. You might get accounting questions. You might plan member events, talk about resignations, right? All of this. And oftentimes sales falls by the wayside. And really, that's the most important thing, right? And in a country club, if you don't have new members coming in and you're losing members, you're at a net negative. And that's when you get into the pattern that I call the downward spiral, right? Yeah. You have to start assessing. Your dues are probably going to go up. That's going to be even harder to sell memberships because maybe you're out of market now. And really, it can all be traced back to the sales process and just staying focused, solely focused on getting new members. So that's what I've found has been incredibly successful across the board at all these different clubs across the nation as well.
Yeah, it's weird because I go into clubs and I feel bad for the staff because oftentimes they wear like so many hats. So the person who's in charge of membership is also the person who does the newsletter, is also the person putting together some of the events and things like that. And it's like, man, it's like there's just not enough.
It's a tough job.
Time in the day.
it's a tough job. And you know, there's so many resources oftentimes within the club that are untapped. You know, you might have a front desk receptionist that could easily tackle Facebook, they could probably tackle a newsletter and really free up the time for the membership director to do their main job and the most important job, in my opinion, and that's sales.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So let's talk about why you founded Capstone then and the need that it serves, Brian.
Yeah, so that was the biggest reason, to be honest with you. First and foremost, I'm a golfer. I love golf. Didn't grow up around private clubs. I was a muni golfer myself, but having the opportunity to travel and see all these clubs and see them struggling, it was sad to me, you know, and I saw that, hey, I think there's a better way to do this. Yeah. I think that if you solely focus on memberships and bring people in the door, you know, and really wow them with not only the offerings, but even more so just the experience, right? The experience that they're going to get when you first meet them, when you first take them through the club, that feeling that they're going to get. And that's something you cannot repeat. First impressions, everything, right? So I said, let's do this a little differently. Let's approach this in a different manner. Let's get some ex-professional golfers. Let's staff them in clubs and let's see if we can increase their membership sales. And we've been able to do that in a big, big way. And it's been very satisfying to see these country clubs really transform. All the staff is making more money, right? Because there's more members in their dining. The pros are making more money. They're more secured because they're giving more lessons to the new members. Because the new members are often the times that the people that they're going to bring you more members and they're going to spend more money, right?
Yeah.
So just so important to get those that new blood in the door oftentimes.
When I first talked to you, I thought it was interesting your approach in getting ex-golf professionals, which a lot of times in the membership departments at a lot of clubs around the country, it's generally not so much the case. It's men, first of
right.
all. You know, it's very female, heavily dominated, I would say.
Yes.
And very often they are not golf professionals. So why did you decide to take that approach?
Yeah, so I saw the success that I had with just doing sales on my own at an individual club myself. And I really noticed that people that are coming into the clubs really, really like golf oftentimes, obviously. And they can relate strongly to professional golfers, probably not in the way they play, but meaning they all have passion for the game.
Right.
And being able to take a prospect, a potential member out onto the golf course, you're going to get 4+ hours with them. You're going to find out exactly what makes them tick. You're going to find out exactly how you need to sell them. And then if you're trained on the back end of overcoming objections, if you know how to take them through the process accordingly, you're going to have a much higher success rate at closing down these members if you get to spend that time with them. And that's one thing, you know, I've been to some really, really nice clubs and, you know, I was a caddy when I was in college and I saw that the membership director at that club was taking them through the entire process, playing that round with them and really just garnering those relationships with them because that when it all boils down to it, that's what sales is all about. It's gaining these relationships, gaining their trust. And like you said, you know, I know you and I have spoke about this. No one likes to be sold. Right? They want to experience something. And oftentimes professional golfers, I think, can relate to these golfers and help them experience that in a greater fashion.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, obviously no, nothing disparaging to say about our female non-golf professionals out there that are membership directors.
But no, not at all.
Approach for sure. I was talking to a gentleman. He's doing the new TPC course. And I want to say it was out near – was not West, I think Colorado it was. But his approach was similar to what you're saying, where he just built rapport. The course is just under construction. He would be bringing his dog out. Like, so it was very natural. He'd actually bring the dog and they would just walk the course together, and it took hours. And he knew that if someone took the time to do that and just spend a few hours with him, kind of seeing his...
They were probably a real prospect.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of cool. So it is all about that rapport building for sure. So
yeah, and I think that guy was just creating that feeling, right? Yeah. The dog out there, it loosens him up.
Right.
Creates this sense of community, all that. And that's, in my opinion, what it's all about. And that's why people want to join clubs in the first place.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I like that. So let's talk about some of the partnerships that you've been able to forge, Brian, some of the clubs that you're working with out there.
So we started off with one concert golf club and just have been able to develop into almost all of theirs. And really what they saw was the sales process that we brought to the table, the methods that we brought to the table, and even more so is the results, right? Plain and simple. You know, they're a fast growing company. They're a great company, and we've been able to learn a lot from them as well. And really just, that was kind of our launching pad, right? And now we're going out to these other different clubs. They're looking for the exact same results, and we're able to produce those exact same results. So it's really been a really, really exciting time.
So if we get into the mechanics more about how this works, so if clubs are maybe considering taking you guys on as a partner, you guys go right into the club and actually manage and drive that sales process. Is that correct? How does it all work?
Correct. Yeah. So we staff a Capstone Hospitality salesperson. They've been highly trained in our methods. Like I said, a lot of them are ex-professional golfers. And really the biggest thing with us is there's an entire team behind this process. So as opposed to just one person out on an island trying to figure out how to sell memberships, creative marketing ideas, all of this, they have an entire team where our single goal is to bring more members to that club. So our salesperson would come on site. They would work with existing staff. We would create a program. We would create a marketing plan. We would work with existing budgets, or, you know, sometimes these clubs don't have budgets at all. We would develop then a goal budget, advertising, all of that. And then we would hit the ground running. We have a call center behind the scenes to where, you know, with that process, you have an on-site salesperson, but you also have this call center behind that's driving leads to that individual salesperson who is obviously highly trained on overcoming objections and closing down new members. And then also we have a proven lead generating techniques. And, you know, oftentimes a lot of these clubs have tried this, but again, when you have a situation where you're distracted by all these different things, a lot of times you may implement a referral program or something like that, but it might fall by the wayside. It's not harnessed appropriately. And just like anything, if you let something kind of fade away, it's going to die eventually. So that person is just solely focused on driving leads to the club and closing them down. And it's worked very, very well.
Very nice. That's very cool, Brian.
Yeah.
I know you've got some common objections. Anyone in sales has to be ready for the objections, and you've got some lessons and some stuff right from the trenches for folks. So what are the top two common objections to membership, and how do you overcome those?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is being sales in the Northeast, the Midwest, the Southeast, the Mid-Atlantic, all of that, we see almost the exact same objections, which is pretty unique. And what's interesting though is a lot of times you're gonna respond to someone in New York far differently than you're gonna respond to someone probably in rural Indiana, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to be tweaked a little bit for the area, and that's one thing that's brought a lot of value to us to the table of the clubs, is we've seen all these different things. But for instance, I think one of the biggest things that we see whenever we go in. So you have a couple of different objections. You have, right, I don't have enough time for it. Right. I've got XYZ going on in my schedule. You know, I have my job. The kids have soccer on the weekends, whatever it may be. The other one is financially, it doesn't make sense, right? If I add up all of my rounds that I play, I typically play 30 rounds per year with the dues, with the initiation fee, with all of that. You know, that brings my cost per round up to $250, whatever it is.
Right.
And, you know, if you're not trained or don't have someone on site that knows how to overcome these objections, most likely they're going to respond with something along the lines of, yeah, you know, I totally understand. Well, you know, whenever it makes more sense for you, give us a call. We'd love to have you. Very nice response. But if you want to sell a membership, that's probably not the best response.
Right.
Whereas, you know, I think you always need to bring the person back to why they came there in the first place, why they were initially looking for a membership. So for instance, for the first one with the time thing, it's, yeah, no, I get it. You know, we're all busy. But let me ask you this. Why are you considering a membership in the first place? And probably you're going to get some line of answer like, oh, you know, I want to meet people. I'm tired of the 5-hour rounds. I want a safe place for my family, whatever it may be. And by asking them that question, you're going to know exactly how to sell them, plain and simple, right? And you latch on to that. You say, you know what? You're absolutely right. And oftentimes, many of the people that join, they're in very similar situations as you. They're busy people. They don't have a lot of time. But what they found is whenever they join, they learn that it actually consolidates their schedule, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can drop the kids off at daycare. We have daycare every night from 5 to 9. You know, you can go out and play maybe 7 holes as opposed to paying for 18 holes because guess what? You know, you're not paying for greens fees. You know, your wife, if she's in the fitness, she can go to this fitness class. And then guess what? Afterwards, y'all can meet over a nice dinner where the staff knows you. They know your food preferences. It's a lifestyle, right?
Right.
And that's why people join clubs, is for the lifestyle. And so if you get back to the reason and can tap into the emotion of why someone wants to join a club, you're going to be far more successful at closing these people down than you would if you didn't. And same thing goes for the dollar cost. It's the exact same thought.
Right.
Take them back to why they want to join. Chances are if someone's talking about dollars, they've probably been playing at a public facility somewhere. So they're probably sick of the rounds. They're probably sick of having to make peak times. They're probably sick of the wait time. And you bring them back to that. Look, if you're trying to justify a membership financially, we should probably just end the conversation because you're never going to be able to do it. Right? It's like trying to justify. Yeah. It's like trying to justify buying a Mercedes Benz, right? You're never going to be able to do it, but I tell you what, there's probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Mercedes Benzes driving around the country. So people, they value, you know, they value experience. So taking them back to why they want to join, overcoming those objections and getting back to, hey, you want to join this for the experience, for the lifestyle, for the quality of life. You're working your tail off. You deserve something like this. And if you do this, you're going to meet people, you're going to network, you're going to do all this. So again, it's just taking them through these objections, bringing them back to the original reason why they want to join. And I think if membership directors around the country do that, they're going to see a quick turnaround that, hey, I'm actually closing these people down that are giving me these objections.
Yeah, well said. I'm totally on board with all that. I think all too often we try to market to the logical side of the brain, and that's where humans go a lot for some reason. But truly, emotional side of the brain is where we make the purchasing decisions. So, well said.
No question.
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the successes that you've had, Brian. Is there any club that comes to mind last year that really stood out, or something that you turned around and just had incredible success with?
Yeah, you know, one of the ones that comes to mind is White Manor out in just outside Philly. You know, prior to us coming in, the entire thought was, you know, we're in a bad market. We're too far outside of Philly. You know, people don't want to pay initiation fees, all that kind of stuff, right? So they were doing about 20 to 30 on a good year. Maybe they were doing 50 memberships. They were doing about 180 to 200,000 in initiation fees. We came in there, and last year we sold close to 200 memberships and over 800,000 in initiation fees. Now they're at a point where they're looking at a cap, right? And again, we're doing all of this without doing a preview style membership. We're not slashing our initiation fees. And in fact, oftentimes we're able to build them up and increase them, creating that sense of urgency, getting people in the door, all that. And it's just been really incredible. You know, I could kind of rattle off a couple more if you like. You know, Indian Spring down in Boca Raton, Boynton Beach, had no initiation fees. Again, we're doing these kind of discounted preview style memberships. We said, you know, we got to move this club forward. We have to reestablish the initiation fees. In the first 6 months there, we sold 180 memberships and did over 400,000 initiation fees. So again, the impact can be very, 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 very great if it's set up appropriately and if those relationships are harnessed. And that's one thing that Capstone Hospitality is very, very good at.
It sounds like you're going to work yourself out of a job in some of these places.
Well, that has happened. Absolutely. And, you know, that's our goal in all seriousness, is to get these clubs to a financially stable position. We know we're not going to be in these clubs for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
It's, hey, let's get them to their goal and we move on to the next club that needs help.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, how do you, just a question I come across a lot of times that I know clubs have, that when they've gone down the road of discounting their membership or offering deep incentives and things like that, how do they then change course and actually, you know, start to raise that value in the mind of the consumer? Because so oftentimes they're very scared, thinking that like, okay, we're never going to get any more members unless we run another discount. How do you answer in that?
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and that's where we work with management incredibly closely to say, hey, we have to create a story here. We have to change the narrative of the direction of the club, right? So initially eliminating all those programs, first and foremost, and saying, hey, now we're going to actually move forward with a strategic plan that gets the initiation fees back up, actually markets the people that we want that are long-term members. You know, I know you've seen it in all the clubs you go into. You get the club hoppers, right? The guys that are looking for the next best deal, and they go in groups, right? So you might get a group of 20 or 30. Yeah. Next year, they're going to the next best deal. And that's just horrible for clubs.
No, it is.
And it's getting away from that, you know, and I think the best way clubs can do that is, again, come up with a plan, come up with a narrative, come up with some ways that you're going to invest into the club once you hit certain amount of numbers. So you can get, I'll give you another example. You know, we just partnered with another club, really, really interesting club in Sugarloaf, Pennsylvania. It's called The Valley. And this club, you know, had gone through multiple different ownerships. A really prominent businessman just bought them recently. He's from that area. He wants to revitalize it. He wants to do all this stuff. And, you know, we're coming in there after the fact when last year they were doing half off dues, no dues for 7 months. It was crazy, you know, and they probably only sold 15 or 20 memberships, because if you really think about it, if you really get back again to the psychology of why people want to join clubs, it's the community, it's the commitment, it's the quality of everything. So if you're just discounting all of these different things, you're essentially a public club. And right. So the true members, the true people that you want, are actually going to be deterred by that. They're going to be turned off by that.
Right.
So we came up with a strategic plan with the owner up there, and he's investing about $1 million back into the club through a period of time once we hit certain goals, because then it makes financial sense for him to do it. And we're able to pitch this to people, and we're starting to gain momentum. We've reestablished the initiation. They had no initiation fees. We reestablished the initiation fees. They're paying full dues. And there's this really big sense of excitement, because people are like, oh my gosh, this is what we've been looking for. A club that is not slashing their prices,
right.
A club that's moving forward, that's reinvesting.
Right.
So I think people, if they just get out of the mindset of, hey, we have to discount to get new members, and, you know, gain a position of strength in the industry and say, no, we don't have to discount. We don't have to do this. Maybe we need to adjust our sales approach a little bit. Maybe we need to talk to someone like Gabe or Capstone Hospitality or whoever to give us some guidance and maybe bring in a salesperson, but let's not drop our pants and really, you know, reduce the entire integrity of the club,
right.
You know, and I know you've seen that too a lot.
Yeah, no, I think you're dead on there. You got to sell the vision of the future. And I like what you're talking about there in terms of, you know, showing the new members coming in, the investment that's going to get made into the club. I think that's awesome advice there, Brian. I know you've got a solution for one thing that clubs can do immediately to increase membership sales. What is that, Brian?
Yeah, so, you know, we have a lot of different things that we put into place at all of these different clubs, just as far as lead generators to generate new membership sales and all that. And one thing that you can do immediately is just look within, right? You have this captive audience at your club. You have probably a ton of social members, maybe an athletic style membership. And the goal is obviously to get the dues line up as high as possible, maybe to collect a small initiation fee out of them, anything like that. So one thing that we've done across the board that has worked very successfully is we try to get social and these non-golf members up into full golf memberships. It increases the dues line. Again, you might get a small upgrade fee, things like that. But a lot of times, right, social members, they might not know how to play golf, or athletic. They might have no intention of picking it up. It's an intimidating sport. That's why I think Top Golf has done so well, which, by the way, I think is really, really good for the game. They make it easy. They make it fun. They make it social. So one thing we've done is we work with the existing staff. We work with the PGA pros. And like I said, oftentimes our salespeople have a lot of playing experience themselves. And they'll put on complimentary clinics for the social and all non-golf members. So they'll come in, they'll make it fun, we'll include some drinks, maybe have some music, do a little clinic, and guess what? While they're there, they're probably going to have a little opportunity to upgrade, maybe at a discounted rate, maybe some sort of incentive. And it's worked very well at not only increasing your dues line, getting some extra dollars from upgrade fees, but again, going back to our ultimate goal, which is to continue to grow the game of golf. So it's worked very well, and I highly encourage everyone listening to put it in the place at your clubs. I think you'll be very impressed with the results.
I know you've got some really cool gifts for our audience, so tell us about that, Brian.
Yeah, so a couple of things. You know, if you're interested in our services, there's a couple ways you can get in contact with us. You can check us out at www.capstone-hospitality.com. You can send an email to us, info@capstone-hospitality.com. You can call us at our headquarters here in Neptune Beach. That number is 904-853-6609. Again, 904-853-6609. We have created an ebook that basically just talks about, you know, a lot of the objections that you're going to get, how to overcome them, some of the strategies that Capstone Hospitality implements at all of these clubs. And I'm offering that for free to anyone that is interested in learning a little bit more about what we do. So best way to get that would be to email us, again, at that info@capstone-hospitality, and we will shoot that over to you guys. And then also, if you want to move forward and want to get a free club assessment, we'd be happy to, either myself or one of my staff members, talk to all of the staff, maybe the board, and just come up with a strategic plan to where we see like your club can move forward to. Again, that's free of charge. There's no risk. We're not going to sell you. If it makes sense for us to move forward together, we will. But, you know, our goal, again, is to move clubs forward, to move this industry forward, and to grow the game of golf.
That's awesome, Brian. Well, I really appreciate you coming on Private Club Radio and sharing some of those strategies and some of those useful tips with us, and offering those free consultations and the ebook for our listeners. Thank you so much, Brian, and hope to get you back on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gabe.
Yep, awesome.
I appreciate it.
And now, it's time for Club Perspectives, presented by the National Club Association.
Well, welcome to another edition of Club Perspectives, presented by the National Club Association. And today I'm joined by President and CEO of the NCA, Henry Wallmeyer. Henry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Gabe. Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to get into the national conference that's coming up here in just a couple months. Can we talk a little bit about that today?
Yeah, I'd love to. National Club Association's National Club Conference is going into its 14th year, which is outstanding. And we're looking forward to another great event, building on last year's event that we had in New York. And one of the things that we've changed about our conference over the last couple of years, starting with Chicago 2 years ago, is really looking at bringing in speakers, who have been very successful in their own industries, who are leaders, who have great stories to tell. Not necessarily people from the private club industry, but people who are connected to the industry, either through memberships or through volunteering, as leaders at their clubs, And so we wanted to take that model and say, okay, well, who are people that, you know, are attendees? It's, you know, our general managers, you know, presidents of clubs who come to the conference. You know, who would they want to see and hear from at a conference? And that's what we've really done, you know, for this year. And, you know, last year we had a great event in New York with speakers such as Eric Trump, George Bodenheimer, the former head of ESPN, who's now back, you know, running ESPN. Back running ESPN, also had Reese Jones, you know, golf course designer, had Bill McGurn, former speechwriter for George W. Bush and part of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, and just a lot of other influential people who have been very successful, you know, in their own field, but, you know, have some type of connection to the private club industry and to what we do as a trade association.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's get into some of those featured speakers, and that's what I do love about your conference, is it's so diverse and it's not the same old that you get at some of these other events out there in the industry. So let's talk about some of the marquee names that are going to be attending and speaking this year.
Sure, absolutely, and you hit the nail right there on the head, is, you know, because the attendees get to go to a lot of, you know, industry conferences, whether it's their chapter meeting or through you know, other associations, and, you know, they are likely to hear the same people you know, multiple places. So that is the thing that we wanted to do, is, you know, bring in some different folks you know, who the attendees could hear from. And this year we're very excited. You know, starting off, we've got Peter Ueberroth, who's going to be speaking. Obviously, for those of us old enough, like myself, to remember when he ran the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, and then after that, he was the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And so, you know, as a kid growing up and you know, recognizing and living through those sports events, whether it was the Olympics or growing up as a, you know, baseball player in Little League and watching my heroes, knowing who Peter Ueberroth was. And the ability to have him, you know, speak on those, as well as his involvement with, you know, the Pebble Beach Company and what he's doing there, and some of the other things that he's done as an entrepreneur and a philanthropist, you know, are quite impressive. And so very excited to have him speak. We've also got a great tandem where Mike Stachura, who is the senior equipment editor at Golf Digest magazine, is going to be interviewing Chip Brewer, who is the president and CEO of Callaway Golf Company. And Chip's going to be talking about, you know, how he has turned that company around. And, you know, they're now about a $1.1 billion company, very strong, you know, what he's been able to do, you know, for the Callaway name. And then also even, you know, talk about, you know, their investment in Topgolf, because we all know how popular Topgolf is now, and what we're looking to that is potentially the future of golf. You know, why did they, you know, make that strategic decision to invest in Topgolf, and how do they see that, you know, continuing? And then some other folks that equally as proud of having on our lineup, one is Bill Walsh, who's the CEO of the Viceroy Hotel Group, which is a high-end boutique hotel firm. And he's, you know, very much a golf fan, a member of multiple clubs. But he can really, you know, tell great stories and motivate people in terms of, you know, having pride in your job and the customer service that all of his hotels are able to provide to their guests. And then also individual Jose Vila, who's a founder and president of Census, which is a marketing company, but it's a company that markets towards, you know, millennials and, you know, different cultures. And so it's, okay, these are the types of folks that, you know, clubs are trying to bring in to their membership. And so Jose is going to be able to talk about, you know, what his firm does and how you, you know, can reach out to these individuals and what are they looking for in terms of their entertainment and, you know, what do they want to spend their resources on in terms of, you know, time and money. And then also, you know, a couple of folks, you know, from the LA area. One is Elise Buick, who's the president and CEO of the United Way of Greater Los Angeles. Wow. And she has done a wonderful job in turning around that organization and really making it a big, player in Los Angeles in terms of helping those that are less fortunate. And, you know, she's been recognized as a nonprofit CEO of the year, you know, out in Los Angeles, in a top 10 game changer by Los Angeles Magazine. And so you know, those are the types of folks that are going to have great stories to tell that our members can learn from. You know, and then on the other side, you know, for specifically deal with the industry, we've got a lot of great people speaking as well, including Frank Wolf, who's the CEO of of the hospitality, financial, and technology professionals. Most people know it as HFTP. So he's going to be talking about a technology club survey that we just completed with him and giving the results on that. We've got Henry DeLozier from Global Golf Advisors going to be interviewing Fred Laughlin to talk about where are things going in terms of governance with clubs. We've got Trevor Coughlin from Jonas, who's going to be talking about technology trends in the industry. And also have David Smith, from Platinum Clubs, who's going to be talking about, what are the criteria for clubs to be successful. So we've got a great mix of, well-known people like a Peter Ubroth or a Chip Brewer, also to the very successful folks in their own right, like a Jose Vila and a Bill Walsh. And then we've got our industry folks that, can really help the attendees as they're, going back to their clubs to try to implement, things to make their clubs more successful.
Yeah, it sounds very, very well-rounded, and I'm certainly looking forward to attending. How about some of the venues? I know you're going to be going to some unique clubs out there on this go-around, so can you talk about some of the places that people will be dining and listening to the education and being entertained?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I love about putting on this conference is because of our size, like I said, roughly 150, 175 attendees. It gives us the opportunity to visit some of our club members and visit some of the clubs that are out there, so that people can see what are other clubs doing. Thankfully, we don't have to go to a big hotel. And so we have those unique opportunities. And one of the places that we're going to be going that I'm very, very excited about is the Academy of Magical Arts, also known as the Magic Castle. Now, this is a private club in Los Angeles whose members are magicians who are in that, some way connected to that that field. And it's a great club. Joe Furlow, the general manager, has done a wonderful job, turning that club around. He was a award recipient last year of the, McMahon Award. Awards in Excellence, and that's where I first learned about the club. And it's just really, really unique in terms of, its history. Harry Houdini did a lot of things at the club. And what they, what you experience when you're at the club, because it's basically magicians who are all around the club. They're always performing tricks, whether you're at the bar and ordering a drink, your drink will be served, and then the bartender will do a trick or two for you. And so we're going to be there for what's our inaugural VIP board appreciation dinner. And this is a dinner where the association has the opportunity to give thanks to those who have supported the association either through their time, talents, or treasures. And so it will be the National Club Association Board of Directors, the National Club Foundation Board of Directors, any of our corporate partners, any of our conference sponsors, as well as individuals who've given to our Political Action Committee Club PAC. And so it's a way for them to, come to this event. There's no charge, for them, because again, we're thanking them, for this and doing it in just this really, really great environment. And we'll do a reception, and there'll be magicians walking around doing tricks, and we'll sit down for dinner. And then after the dinner, we'll go to the theater for a show, and then after that, they've got all these smaller little rooms where magicians will be performing, and the attendees can walk around and see any type of magic and illusion that that their heart desires. So
that's awesome.
It's just a different unique club, and not what people think about when they think about traditional private club. And this really builds on where we were last year for our big dinner, which was at the Friars Club in New York. So
right.
I like to think that we were at a club for comedians in New York last year, and this year we're at a club for magicians in Los Angeles.
Will there be
I don't
another
know what I'll do next year?
Will there be another Philip Mike moment? Last year, that was one of my highlights. Is Philip Mike from the NCAA actually got up and did about a 5 or 10 minute stand up, and it was just laugh out loud funny. Are you thinking any magicians in the crew over there at NCAA, Henry?
We do not, at least not that I know of. Someone suggested that I should get up there and try to do that, but if I try to do magic, I think that would turn more into a comedy routine because I'd be so funny about how I epically fail at trying to pull a quarter out of my ear or something like that. And
that's
so
hilarious.
I'm just going to sit back and appreciate the professionals who do that. And It's a great place, and they've been written about a lot in different magazines out in Los Angeles, and been on TV and anything that deals with magic. If you look closer or listen, somebody's talking about it, it somehow comes back to the Magic Castle. And this was a place where Neil Patrick Harris was the president of the club for a couple years, and anytime that he could during his TV show or when he was hosting any award show, he would try to talk about magic and talk about help bring recognition to the art and in turn help promote the club. So it's just a very, very unique opportunity for us to be there and for us to be able to thank our members with this. And so we've also got the more traditional type of venues, but we'll be going to the California Club, which is a city club right there in downtown Los Angeles, for our welcome reception. We're going to be outside on their balcony overlooking downtown Los Angeles, so looking forward to that. That's a wonderful facility. And then also we're going to be going out the next night to the Jonathan Beach Club for our big reception and dinner. And if you've not seen this, this is a beautiful facility in Santa Monica, right there on the beach. We're going to have everything's going to be outdoors. It's going to be a great way to, really experience Los Angeles and the beach scene. We're going to get away from the stuffy coat and tie, dinner at inside a club. And we're going to take advantage of Los Angeles, and we're going to be more casual and being outside and enjoying that that venue. Cool. And then where we're going to be having the education and is going to be at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel, which is an iconic hotel in downtown Los Angeles, and it just absolutely looks like the interior of a private club. And so we're very fortunate to be able to use this facility, which has hosted many award shows back in the day, and is very connected to the entertainment
Academy Awards
in
too,
Los
right?
Angeles.
They hosted their first one, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, and we'll be there, and it's going to be really a taste of all the things that are Los Angeles, whether it is the beach part of it or the entertainment part of it, or with some of the speakers in terms of the business and the success and the sports side of it. And so we're looking forward to it. We've got strong attendance numbers, again, based on the success we've had the last couple of years. People are looking at our conference now as seeing that as it's a different type of conference, and it is something that not only that they want to attend, but also something that they want to bring their board president to as well.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about it, looking forward to it, and want to make sure that we can put on something that is special and signifies who the National Club Association is and what we're doing to try to advance the interests of private clubs.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I'm so looking forward to it. Once again, it's April 16th through the 18th. It's going to be out in LA. If you want more details, check out nationalclub.org, the National Club Association's website. Henry, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Private Club Radio and Club Perspectives. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely, Gabe. Thank you for having me, and we look forward to seeing you out in Los Angeles. You're a big part of the conference where you can interview and talk to some of the speakers and the attendees, and we appreciate that and glad to have you involved with it.
Yep, going to have a lot of fun out there. Have a good one, Henry.
Thanks so much. You too, Gabe. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about the National Club Association, please visit nationalclub.org.
Well, what a great episode. And I want to give a shout out to my son, Marco. He turns 2 today. He's not listening to Private Club Radio yet, but maybe he'll go back and listen to these episodes. So happy birthday, son. I'm very proud of you. All right. Well, I will catch you guys back here next week on another edition of Private Club Radio. And until then, here's to your membership success.
Private Club Radio is brought to you by Concert Golf Partners, helping to preserve and enhance private golf and country clubs. Concert Golf has the capital, expertise, and private club hospitality experience to help upscale private clubs achieving long-term success and membership growth. For 25 years, Concert Golf has allowed private club members to focus on simply enjoying their club. Visit concertgolfpartners.com to learn more about the recapitalization process.